chapter 11, verse 30, through the end of the chapter. And so I'd like to begin with reading the verses first. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover the bonds of bonds and imprisonments. They were sawn asunder, they were stoned and sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having promised some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we do thank you for these great heroes of the faith, that they give to us an example of those who walked and lived by faith, knowing that the promises of God were made sure by faith, even though they had not yet fully obtained those promises in the material realm. But they looked to you, Heavenly Father, realizing that in Christ they would receive the full promises of God, and they were as good as given to them. And we do thank you, Father, for such hope that we have in Christ, that we believe that Christ is not only the Savior of the world, but that he is our own personal Savior because of our relationship with him, and that we may someday be fully glorified with Christ and experience those eternal realities that we shall have with him in heaven. Father, thank you for these things. Encourage each one of us this afternoon. Pray your Holy Spirit to minister your word and do edify each one in faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this afternoon is All Things by Faith, meaning that as we look at the end of this chapter, we take particular note that all of these people that are mentioned in this great chapter, this chapter of faith, show not only the superiority of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that they received all things by faith, even though they themselves had not fully received the promises in their material realm. That is, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, but yet he knew that that city was a future time. It was not to be had in his own day. That those who continued in faith were those who received those things by faith. Well, what do? But we also believe that when we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we receive the gift of eternal life. Have we yet received fully that gift of eternal life? Well, we've received it in spirit and in faith. but we have not received it materially. That is, each one of us know that if we continue to live here on the earth, we shall expire at some point. We shall die. And I was just recently talking to a gentleman who was evidently in his 60s, maybe nearly 70. I think he did say he was like 72. And he said he expected only to live about another 10 years and then he would die. And so I began to talk to him somewhat about his spiritual life. Are you a Christian? Do you go to church anywhere? Have you any religious concerns? And he said he did have a Bible. He did have a devotional book that somebody gave to him, but he hadn't done anything with it. He hadn't read the Bible. He hadn't read the devotional book. And so we talked some more. I gave him a little personal testimony of my own life and what God had been doing, and then I gave him a booklet, a devotional booklet, and left it with him to see if he would take that and then go home and read it. And he said that he would come back at a later time and talk to me. Well, we find that we believe that these things are received by faith. That is, not only the gift of eternal life, but our walk of faith is received by faith. Here we are, sitting together. We are worshiping God in this manner in which the early church did, when they came together upon the first day of the week. And the preaching of the word, and the proclaiming of the gospel of Christ, and all of that which entails the ministry of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we believe by faith. And I trust that throughout the week these things are constantly upon your mind. In fact, if you're like I am, you get up every day and you're thinking about your spiritual walk with God. You're thinking about your life of faith. You're praying about your life of faith. And if you have children or grandchildren, or if you have family, you're thinking about them, and perhaps you pray for them, and you look toward all these things by faith. And that is where we are. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We look through a glass darkly. We are looking through the mirror of faith. It reflects back toward us, and we say, well, we are walking by faith. We have nothing more to go on except the Word of God, which is, of course, sufficient for faith and practice. That is what we believe. And we are walking by faith. And at any point along our walk of faith, we talk to God, we commune with God, we experience those things that God has told us about. We read His Word, we take what He says in His Word by faith, and we begin to act on those things. All these things by faith. The first thing that we see here in this end of the chapter is that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Walls are not too big for God. That's the conclusion. Walls are not too big for God. Here was Jericho, and it was a fortified city. I believe the general description was the walls were thick enough for seven chariots to ride abreast on the walls of Jericho. They were huge. It was like a road right on the top of the walls, in so much that houses could be built right on the walls of Jericho. And in fact, it seems that Rahab's house was right on the wall of Jericho. Right on the very wall. It was a huge wall. And it must have been of tremendous height and breadth. Such a wall. But walls are not too big for God. God can take down big walls. And there may be many things that you can think of in your life that are big walls. But, you know, when we think about unsaved children, these are big walls. We hope to see our children in heaven. We pray for them. We have done everything that in human need that we can to provide for our children. And we continue to do so. And we pray for our children. But the salvation of our children is only very small compared to what God can do. It is a big wall, maybe, but God can traverse it. God can bring that wall down. He can do that. We find that Joshua and the children of Israel were counting on God to give them the first victory in the land of Canaan. Moses had passed away. They came to the River Jordan. Now they must trust God that they could ford the river, that the priests must go to the brink of the river and must step their feet into the river, and they must believe at that very instant that the river was going to dissolve away in front of them, that they were going to be able to go across on dry ground, and that they were going over to Jericho, and there they were going to face the biggest obstacle they could possibly think of, these walls of Jericho, that they might have the victory over this first city. This first city, and the walls were huge. You know, as we think about the walls that we face many times, many of them are like that to us. We don't know how we are going to ever ford the river and get to the walls that are in front of us. But God can do it. And how can He do it? All these things by faith. We must believe that God is able to do it by faith. You just have to fill in the blank. What are your walls that you are facing? What is the thing? You know, we are here, we're walking upon the road of faith, and we have to trust God. There is just no getting around it. We have to trust Him if we're going to move forward. We have to trust Him. I have to trust Him the same way as you. And there are some obstacles that we face at times that seem unsurmountable, in that we just don't know how we're going to get through this. But we can do it by faith, because nothing is impossible with God. And here is Joshua. He is counting on God to do the impossible. And as it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And we know the biblical account, how that they walked around the city, and they had to do it just so many times and just so many days. And in the seventh day, they go around it all of these times and blow the trumpets, and all of a sudden, God becomes bigger than the walls that they are facing, and the walls come crashing down. And you know, I think we're just as surprised, aren't we, when God does something? Aren't we just as surprised? I think we are. You know, when we trust God for something huge, some big thing in front of us, sometimes we look back after God has solved the problem and we say, well, God did it. He did it. He actually answered prayer in this thing. And the very thing that we thought was so huge in front of us, after we get by it just a little bit, we say, well, why didn't I trust God for this sooner? Why haven't I been trusting Him for this all along? And there are some big walls in life. But we can't dictate which ones these are, can we? And which ones of God are going to accomplish for us. No, we have to take them in the order that God gives them. Well, this first one that Joshua and the children of Israel faced was Jericho. That was the first one God gave them. And, you know, we're in the same place. We have to take them in the order that God gives them. We may want to take them in a different order. We may want to do things somewhat differently. But that won't work. We have to trust God for what He puts in front of us. And when He puts it in front of us, we have to believe that He will do it, that He will do what He has said He will do. And so walls are not too big for God. Secondly, in verse 31, a life can be changed for good. Simple as that. A life can be changed for good. Here is Rahab. She is not held up as the model citizen of the day. She is a harlot. She is not a model citizen. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. God can change a life for good. You know, sometimes we think we have it all figured out what God is doing. But when we don't have a clue, we have to let God work this thing out a little bit. I mean, we just can't jump in there and do it for Him. And this woman who was living on the wall, we might say living on the edge of life, she's living on the razor edge, right on the precipice of a cliff, you might say. Here she is hanging right off the wall in her little house. I can't imagine it was much of a mansion. It probably was just a little cranny in the wall. And she was on this thoroughfare on the top of the city that goes around. And maybe that was good for business, you know? Maybe there's a lot of people that use that road every single day to get from one place to the other in Jericho. And she said, "Oh, I've got it made. I've got the perfect business spot right here." A life can be changed for good. God can change that kind of a life. And God does change that life. In fact, it seems like this is the only woman that God wanted to change. There wasn't anybody else. This was the only one. And God spoke to her heart. She sat there on the wall, as it were, so to speak, in her little house. And she heard the news of everybody who came around the wall. And what was everybody saying? "There's trouble coming. The Israelites, the God of Israel, is coming across this river, and we are in trouble. In fact, we believe that God is on their side, and we are going to have a hard time. There's a tornado coming, an earthquake, a disaster. They're going to destroy our city." And you know what? She believed it. God had spoken to her heart. And what struck her? The fear of God. The fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. You may not have a lot of things, but if you have the fear of God, you have the beginning of things. The beginning of wisdom. And you may say, "Well, I don't have much money. I don't have a big house. I don't have a very good bank account. I'm not famous. I don't have any of the things that people want to accumulate in the world so that you can have a lot of power, prestige, and position, and everybody knows you and you're so popular. I don't have a lot of things." But the one thing that really matters is whether or not you fear God. Jericho was this affluent city, well-walled, full of people. And the only person that was able to listen to God was Rahab the harlot. And she listened. And she protected these spies. She protected them. Because God told her to. A life can be changed for good. And we should not try to put a damper on what God is doing by thinking that a person can't be reached, or that God wouldn't work through somebody other than what we have a notion about. And God changed this woman's life forever. And she was intelligent enough to kind of make a deal with these spies. "Then I'll make a way for you to escape, and I'll send these other guys off another way, and if you'll protect me, I will protect you. I believe in the God of Israel. I know that there's trouble coming." And she let down the scarlet thread in the window, or rope, or whatever it was. Maybe she had a long sheet. I don't know. But she let them know at the right time when that she was ready. And we find that, of course, as they say, the rest is history. God did do a great thing and brought down the walls of Jericho. And evidently, that one part of the wall that she was on was preserved. Which also should cause us to remember that God preserves his own, as well as changes the life of those whom he preserves and has reason to. No, walls are not too big for God, and God can change a life. And then the third thing that we see here in this passage, that faith and righteousness, and God's promises are obtained by faith. Faith, righteousness, and the promises of God, they're all obtained the same way, by faith. The righteousness of God is by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Well, this is pretty great, isn't it? We not only have the righteousness of God by faith, but we walk by faith. Our salvation is by faith, by grace through faith. And so that is what we see in this last bit of summary here, is that all these people that are then being explained to us, the many heroes of faith, what shall we say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. And you can just kind of mentally think about each one of these people of faith and some of the things that they did. Gideon, the small army that turned into a great army for God. Gideon, Barak, and Samson. Well, Samson, he's so well known. I mean, he seems to be a kind of a very strong, muscular guy who's weak in the brain. until he gets woken up by God. You know, it isn't until his eyes are put out, until he's chained to the pillars in the temple, that he finally comes to his senses and says, "What am I doing here?" And then he begins to trust in God and believes that God will use him at the last bit of strength that he has. And he, of course, pulls down that great temple, and the Philistines are destroyed. When we are at the weakest point, then God can do something. For Samuel was trusting in his strength all the time, wasn't he? I mean, he was this great Samson, this great guy who was so full of muscles, he thought he could do anything. But it wasn't until he was the weakest that he possibly could be that he finally figured out that God might use him. And then we have Jephthah, who of course makes the supreme sacrifice of his daughter. David, who is perhaps the beloved king of Israel, the most beloved king of Israel, in that he is named as of the line of the Messiah. Samuel, of course, a well-known prophet in Israel, one that was used to anoint kings and those who would come after him, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I think verse 33 is telling here for us, wherein these men of faith, these men and women of faith resided. They resided in faith, in the place of faith, through faith. Through faith, they were able to do the things that they did. Through faith, they wrought the righteousness of God. Not in themselves. Through faith, they wrought the righteousness of God. Through faith, they obtained the promises of God. See, we have faith, we have righteousness, and we have the promises of God. Through faith, these things are possible. Through faith. And, of course, that's where we are today. We also are in the same place. If we are to do anything for God, it must be through faith. We must become weak so that God can do things through us. When we are weak, then we are strong. Strong in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, Paul says. I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by the faith of the Son of God, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's all through faith. It's not of ourselves. And it isn't until we come to that place that we realize that we can do anything. And even if the things that are accomplished at that point don't amount to anything to anybody else, isn't important. It's only important if it amounts something to God. Because that's the only time we can please God. We must please God by faith. And that's what these people sought to do. I don't suppose Rahab was sitting on the the committee for the Chamber of Commerce. She might have been, but I doubt it. She was sitting on a committee, but I don't think it was there.
Politicians maybe were bad then too.
But her influence was only insignificant compared to what she did by faith. And what she did by faith meant nothing to the people of Jericho. They weren't very happy with her for what she did by faith. They weren't trusting God by faith. But Rahab was. What you do for God, you will do by faith. You will not do by popular opinion, nor at the applause of others. Most of the time, people will look down on you for what you try to do by faith. You may try to reach your neighbor by faith, and your neighborhood won't think very much of that if you go knocking on their door trying to preach to them. You may try to be faithful preaching the Word of God from pulpits, such as those who have that responsibility to do. But there won't be very many people who will appreciate that. There aren't so many people here today, is there? So if that we see a whole town of Effingham here appreciating what we are doing by preaching the Word. No, you don't. I mean, if you went out and had a 5K run for cancer, everybody would be applauding you. Because they do that all the time. And they think you'd be doing something great. But if you was doing something alone by faith for the glory of God, they wouldn't think too much of that. Well, that is the way that it goes, isn't it? And we find that these men and these women stand upright with God by faith in righteousness and obtaining the promises of God. Verse 34, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's not UFOs, by the way. Verse 35, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, as I guess Isaiah was sawn asunder with a saw. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Seems to be the animal of the day to have, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. There you have it. The world didn't exactly appreciate these people. They wandered in the desert and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Not exactly the church in Eastland or what is the one there in North Conway? The big one. A presidential inn or something of that nature up there.
Rejected.
Yeah, there's that one too. Not exactly these affluent places to live. No, they lived in poverty and in obscurity. But God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. No. But they with us, all by faith. It's all by faith. And the good part of this is that God continues to reward those who trust Him by faith. God continues. God knows that we are but dust. He realizes that we are not perfect, that we do sin, that we are without strength of ourselves. And He gives us what we need that we might continue and be approving in the work of the ministry. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. Such were these by faith. Walls are not too big for God. A life can be changed. Faith, righteousness, and promises are all obtained by faith. Shall we pray? Loving Father, Lord, we all stand in need of Your working in our lives. I pray, Father, You will work in my life and help me to walk in faith more securely each day, trusting You, Lord. Pray You will be with each one here, that we may understand that the walls that You take down are the ones that count. Perhaps we have some wall we've been trying to tear down all by ourselves, but perhaps it isn't even the right one. Lord, You help us to understand how we are to trust You and to walk in faith, what we are to do that we might please You, and then we will see those things being accomplished, and we will give thanks to You and recognize that our faith and our righteousness and our walk of faith is all by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. We praise You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.